If you have your Bible, please turn in Psalms chapter number 8. Please turn in the Word of God to Psalms chapter number 8. Let's read two verses here. Psalms chapter number 8. In Psalms chapter number 8, let's read verses 3 and 4. If you're healthy and able, please stand with me one last time. I know everyone's tired. It's a Wednesday. So let's stand up and wake up. And for a short time, if everyone could, I know there's a lot going on in our lives with work and with traveling. My family, we've been traveling for, I guess, 5 or 6 days straight, overnight, airplanes, Spirit Airlines, where the seats are about this big and uncomfortable seats. And we're tired as well. But let's forget all those things going on in our life for a short time. Let's focus on the Word of God. I believe that God will have a blessing for you this evening. I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you using the Word of God. So let's read two verses and afterward we'll have a moment of prayer. Verse 3, Psalm chapter number 8 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" In verse number 3, David is considering, he's thinking, he's meditating about our God, about the greatness of our God. And in verse number 4, he says this phrase, "What is man? What is man?" This evening, I want to be an encouragement to you with this thought in mind, what is man? What is man? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done for me, for my family. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us of our sins. Lord, I pray that you would bless this evening. Thank you for this church, Central Valley Baptist Church. Thank you for the pastor, the staff, the members. Thank you for the relationship that we have with this church. Thank you, Lord, for our first term that we were able to be in Ecuador, reach many deaf, reach many hearing. Thank you for the part that this church had in that, Lord. I pray that you would bless this thought this evening. Help us to forget all the things going on in our life for a short time and help us to focus on your word, Lord. We know that your word has power. We know that your word is holy. We know that your word is perfect. We pray, Lord, that you would use your word this evening to touch hearts. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In verse number 3 and in verse number 4, we find this beautiful psalm. It's a very famous psalm of David talking about the heavens and the glory of our God and how excellent his name is. And in verse number 3, he says, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained." Thank God for the creation of our Lord, that we can look to the stars, that we can look to the sky, that we can look at everything around us and we can see the glory of God in the heavens. And David here is thinking about all the amazing, incredible things that God has done. And it really is amazing to look up at the universe and to look at the stars and to look at the sun and to think about all the veins and the blood pumping through our body and how our mind can rationally think and how the fruit on the trees grows for us to eat and the vegetables come up from the ground and the water comes. Everything that we see, everything that we have is a miracle of God. It's incredible, no? And there's many incredible things in this life, incredible things that we get to see, incredible things that we experience. For example, Pastor was talking about how incredible it is that a woman like Sonia would marry a man like me, no? And you that are married can relate. Men are ugly, right? Men are stinky, men are hairy, and these women are still, well, some are hairy, but men are hairy, no? And these women are still, thinking of the English word, still willing to marry us, still willing to love us. It's incredible. The fact that she spent 9 years of marriage with me and almost 11 years together, and we have 3 children is something incredible, no? Also, just there's a lot of incredible things in this world. We've recently spent a lot of time in airports. You know, who loves airports? You know, take your belt off, shoes off, arms out. You know, you got all this stuff going on in the airport. You get into the airport. I'll tell you what's incredible in the airport is the prices of things in the airport. It's like everybody in the airport forgets what the prices are outside of the airport. You want a bottle of water? $7. You know, it's like, you know, you got all these big prices. It's incredible. You know, America, this is an incredible place. Everything that we have here in America, how blessed we are. It's an incredible nation. It's an incredible opportunity, all the things that we have here. You know, I remember being a child growing up. I grew up with my single mom, and I remember growing up in the trailer park. And I thought we were poor, you know. And in America, you look down on an area like that, you think it's poor. But I tell you what, living in another country will do, it'll change your entire mind on everything that we have here. Because when I was a child growing up, we had 4 bedrooms, we had carpet, we had central heating and air, we had 2 cars in the driveway, we had a yard to play in, TV, I had a PlayStation, I had everything I needed. I was blessed. We're so blessed in this nation. It's incredible. You know, when we arrived here, one of the things we love about coming back to America is the food. You know, I think since we've been here, we've already eaten Five Guys. We've already eaten Chick-fil-A. We've already eaten Cracker Barrel. I know there's no Cracker Barrel out here, but we've already eaten Cracker Barrel. Some incredible places to eat. And thank God for all the blessings that we have in this life. Incredible blessings that we get to experience. But don't forget how incredible and how amazing and how perfect and how powerful our God is. With just the words of his mouth, he created all that we have. The Bible says with his fingers, he created the moon and the stars. And David is looking and he's thinking in verse number 3, when I can think about, when I meditate, when I look at the stars. And where we live in Guayaquil, Ecuador, with 3 million people, you look up, you don't see many stars. You see a lot of smog and you hear horns and everything else going on. But where I grew up in Jefferson City in the country, you look up into the stars at night. It's incredible to look at the stars and the moon. But when is the last time that you just stopped and you considered? You just stopped and you thought about how incredible our God is. Now look what happens in verse number 3. He stops and he considers and he thinks. And he's looking up at the stars. The Bible says in verse number 3, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. He's looking at the incredible universe that we have. And in verse number 4, it causes him to think. Wow, what is man? When I look at all that there is and I look at the power of our God, what is man? Who am I before God? The Bible says in verse number 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That God is mindful of us? How incredible is that? To think that there's a God in heaven who is mindful of you. In your sinful state, with everything going on in your life, God is mindful of you. What a blessing for us. Take your Bible and look at Psalm 144, please. Psalm 144, I want to show you another verse that asks the same question or says the same phrase. What is man? Psalm 144 and verse number 2. Let's read verse 2, 3, and 4. Psalm 144, verse number 2, another psalm of David. The Bible says in Psalm 144, verse number 2, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? In verse number 2, he starts to say, my God, my fortress. He says, my goodness, my tower, my deliverer. He's considering all the things that God is to him. Just like in Psalm chapter number 8, he's looking at the heavens, at the sun and the moon and the stars and the work of his fingers. And he's looking and he's considering and he's thinking. And it causes him in verse number 4 to say, what is man? In comparison with all of this, what is man? And then here in Psalm 144 in verse number 2, he says, my deliverer, my goodness, my fortress. We can say the same thing in this day and age in 2018. My savior, my God, my helper. We can say all the things like David said then. And what does it cause him to do? In verse number 3, he says again, Lord, what is man? What is man? And I think we can all relate to David in this sense that we know in comparison with God, we are nothing. Jesus Christ himself said, without me, ye can do nothing. One of my favorite verses is in Colossians 3, verse number 4. The Bible says, when Christ, who is our life. This little phrase, who is our life. Christ is everything in our life. And when is the last time that you stopped and you considered his power, his amazing works, his goodness in your life? Because when you stop, that's why the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. When you finally put down the phone for a moment, when you turn off the TV for a moment, when you just stop with the busy pace of life for a moment and you consider, it makes us think, what is man? Who am I in the eyes of God? But what a blessing for us to know that in Psalm 8, the Bible says that he is mindful of us. Here in Psalm 144, the Bible says in verse number 3, that thou takest knowledge of him. God is mindful of us. God takes knowledge of us. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for us, for your souls, that God cares for us. What an amazing blessing to know that the perfect God, my deliverer, my fortress, my salvation, my help, the creator of the universe, all that we have, is mindful of me, takes knowledge of me, takes care of me. What a blessing to know that this evening, that same God that helped David, that was mindful of David, that took care of David, that had knowledge of David, has knowledge of us. That is mindful of us. Amen. But now think, what is man? Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 2. We'll spend the rest of the time here in Ephesians 2. I think we find a perfect example in Ephesians chapter number 2 of what is man. Now, I want you to consider this evening your life. Consider what is man. And in Ephesians chapter number 2, let's look at a few verses here in Ephesians chapter number 2. In Ephesians chapter number 2, we're going to look at what is man. David twice in Psalm 8 and Psalm 144 said, what is man? Considering the things of God. Now, number 1, let's look at who I am without Christ. Who I am without Christ. Who you are without Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter number 2 in verses 1, 2, and 3, we find the answer to the question, what is man? What is man? Who is man without Jesus Christ? We find it right here. Let's look in verse number 1. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Thank God for that word, were, because those of you that are saved, this is talking about your past. So if you're here and you're saved this evening, thank God that you can read verses 1, 2, and 3, and you can know and you can think and remember that this is my past. But I don't know you. I don't know everybody in this room. And as a preacher of the gospel, I want to tell you this evening, if you're not saved, if you've never been saved, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, verses 1, 2, and 3 are talking about you now. The word word does not apply to you. What we're going to look at applies to you now. So everyone can consider this. Everyone can think. Either you can look at God and say thank you to look at how your life was and how it is now, or you can know that right now, this is your life. But what is man? Man without Jesus Christ, number 1, is dead. In verse number 1, the Bible says, you who were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. Dead. I prefer life over death. Who here wants to be dead? But the Bible literally says that without Jesus Christ, before Jesus Christ in your life, you were dead. So what is man without Jesus Christ? Dead. Dead. Without hope. Dead, separated from God. And look at verse number 2. Verse number 2, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Number 2, verse number 2 says, in times past ye walked according to the course of this world. What is man? He is living in the world. And the Bible tells us in James 4:4 that if you're a friend with the world, you are a what to God? You are an enemy to God. So without Jesus Christ, what is man? Who am I without God? I am an enemy to God. It's a powerful verse. It's a very direct verse. It's a strong verse. And it's a painful verse. Because who here in this room wants to be an enemy to God? I would hope that nobody wants to be an enemy of our Lord. But the Bible says if you live in the world, if you're friends with the world, if you want the things of the world, you are an enemy to God. Now, I just want to encourage you this evening to remember and to know that the world and the devil and sin has nothing to offer you. Has nothing to offer you. And what they do is the devil is an expert in taking something ugly, taking something that would destroy your life, and he wraps it up into something beautiful and he presents it to you. And you will enjoy it, the Bible says, for a short time. And then it will pass. And 100% of the time, it always brings destruction, heartache, shame, a lot of problems in your life through sin, through the world. It's better to resist the sin, to say no to the sin. It's just like if you like sports, you know, I love sports. Every time you watch a sports program in the commercials, there's always the beer commercials, no? And every time in the beer commercials, they show people partying, they show people dancing with their friends, drinking the beer, having a great time, smiling. But what they never do is they never show you the next day when they wake up, they can't remember where they were, they don't remember why they spent all their money, they don't know who they were with, they don't know what happened, and they're sick and throwing up. They don't show you the consequences. They want you just to enjoy the things of the world. But without Jesus Christ, what is man? Who is man? We're in the world. In verse number 2, the Bible also says that we're the prince of the power of the air, talking about the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Without Jesus Christ, what is man? We're disobedient. We have a bad spirit. We have a spirit working in us, a spirit of disobedience. Look at verse number 3. Verse number 3, we're talking about what is man? What is man without Jesus Christ? In verse number 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What is man? Who is man without Jesus Christ? That we're living in the lusts of the flesh. The Bible tells us in Romans 7:18 that for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, is no good thing. Without Jesus Christ, what is man? We're living in the flesh. We're dead. We're living in the with the power of the prince of the air. We're living in a spirit of disobedience. We're living in all these things. Verse number 1, verse number 2, verse number 3, is describing your life without Jesus Christ. When David is considering and he stops and he considers, what is my life? This evening, what is your life? Without Jesus Christ, your life is dead. Your life has no hope. You have no hope of victory. You have no hope of eternal life. You have no hope to conquer whatever's going on in your life. You have no hope because we're living in the world. We're an enemy of God. We're living in the flesh. We have a bad spirit of disobedience and we're dead. This is man without Jesus Christ in verse 1, 2, and 3. Now let's look at verse number 4. Number 2, who is Jesus Christ? Who Christ is? Because verse 1, 2, and 3 describes our life without Jesus Christ. This evening, if you're not saved, it's describing your life without Jesus Christ. But now look at verse number 4. Verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Verse number 1, 2, and 3, talking about our life without our Savior Jesus Christ. And then we come to verse number 4, and the Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy. The Bible uses that little word rich. Now, I like that word rich. You know, we know that the love of money is the root of all evil, but I like me some money. We need some money to live. No, rich, the Bible says. What does the word rich mean? It's not only talking about money. It means plentiful or abundant or having too much of, having so much that you have no need of something else. For example, you can be rich in money where you have more money than you need. I hope that you have that problem and I hope that God has your heart and he uses your money for his glory. But you can be rich in many things. For example, if you had $1 million and you bought $1 million worth of chocolate, you would be rich in chocolate. No, you could eat chocolate for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day for years, and you would have an abundance of it. That would apply the word rich. You can be rich in something. And here the Bible uses the word God, who is rich in mercy. And thank God we know that he's rich in money, that money is not an issue for God. God is not scared of money or what's going on in the ministry with money. God has all the money. But the Bible uses the word rich in mercy. Look at a verse in Titus, please. Titus 3. Let's look at a verse in Titus chapter number 3, verse number 5. Let's look at Titus chapter number 3, verse number 5. A verse here about the mercy of God. Titus 3, 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, Titus 3, 5, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. According to his mercy he saved us. According to the mercy of God, we have salvation. According to the mercy of God, we have eternal life. In the mercy of God, we have hope of heaven. We have hope of victory. He is rich in mercy. Verses 1, 2, and 3 describe your life. Verse number 4 begins to describe who God is. God is rich in mercy. Your God this evening is merciful. When's the last time that you stopped and you considered the mercy of God? Because according to his mercy, you and I are saved. According to his mercy, I have eternal life. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for who Jesus Christ is. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 10:22 that the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And this evening, I'm looking at a lot of faces who are rich this evening. Now, some of you may be rich with money, some of you may not. But the Bible says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. That means when we have money, we need to give glory to God. When we don't have money, we need to give glory to God. But riches are more than just money. Many times we focus on the money aspect of riches. But if you in this evening have the salvation of Jesus Christ, a copy of the Word of God, a husband, a wife, children, a car, a house, the Lord has blessed us. And the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. We're rich in the blessings of God. And thank God that he is rich in mercy. Keep your place there in Ephesians 2. Go back to Ephesians 2. Let's look at the next thing. It's describing who Jesus Christ is. Who Jesus Christ is. Look at verse number 5. Ephesians 2, verse number 5. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Look at verse number 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Look at Ephesians 1:7, in the same page there. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Who is God? He is merciful and he is full of grace. Four verses here says that he's riches of his grace, that he is rich in grace, that we are saved according to his grace. So who is God? He is full of grace. He is merciful. Look in verse number 7. We read it, but in verse number 7 in the last part, it says, in the riches of his grace, in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ, through Christ Jesus. Christ is kind. God is kind. God is loving. Thank God for who God is. When is the last time that you stopped and you considered who God is? Who you were and who God is? Because here in Ephesians 2, we find who we were. We were dead. We were living in the world. We were living without hope. We were living in the lust of our flesh and the lust of our mind. We had a spirit of disobedience. Our life was dead without hope. And then in verse number 4, it begins to describe who God is. What a difference, no? God is merciful. God has grace. God is kind. God is loving. Verse number 8, he's our Savior. For by grace are you saved through faith. He's a giver of salvation. He's a Savior. All these things are describing Jesus Christ. Now look at the difference. My life, what is man without Jesus Christ? I am dead. I am living in the world. I'm an enemy of God. I'm living in the lust of my flesh. I'm living in the lust of my mind. I have a spirit of disobedience. I'm a child of wrath. I'm angry. I have no joy. This is my life. What is man? This is man without Jesus Christ. When is the last time that you stopped and considered what your life was without Jesus Christ? Before your salvation, who you were, and now who you are in Jesus Christ. And then we see who God is. God is graceful. God is loving. God is merciful. God is kind. God is our Savior. What a difference in the two. And it shows us just what David was talking about in Psalm 8 and Psalm 144. When he was looking and considering, the Bible says, twice, when I consider the greatness of our God, my deliverer, my fortress, my help, my Savior, the creator of all the universe, when we consider all that God is, it makes us realize who we are before the eyes of God, how much we need the Lord. And you this evening, you need the Lord. This missionary, I need the Lord. Our family, we need the Lord. When we're in a third world country in dangerous areas where we just watched on the news last night where there were murders right here where we are, where we're preaching a birthday party and we leave and we see that a hitman killed somebody there in the park, and when we have fake rings on so we don't get robbed, and in all these moments, we need the Lord just like you need the Lord here in California. There is no difference. God is not dependent of our country. God does not depend on where we live. His grace and his mercy and his love does not depend on how old you are, how much money you have. Every single one of us needs to stop and consider and realize our need for the Lord. So number one, we see in Ephesians 2 who we are without Jesus Christ. What is man? Number two, we see who God is. In verse number 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, we see the attributes of our God. Now, number 3, and I'll finish with this. Who I am with Jesus Christ. Who I am with Jesus Christ. Because I see my life without Christ. My life is dead without hope. I'm destined for hell. I have no hope of victory. I have no joy. I'm angry. I'm living in the world and I'm dead. I'm spiritually dead without Jesus Christ. And then we look at God and we see all the things that he is. But now in salvation, you put them together and we see who we are in Jesus Christ. To every Christian in this room this evening, this is who you are in Jesus Christ. This is who we are. We are a child of God. We are loved by God. We are victorious over the world and the devil and sin and the lust of flesh. We have the joy of the Lord. We have the peace of God. We have a home in heaven. All of these things, I am with Jesus Christ, together with Christ. Look at verse number 9 and verse number 10. We'll finish with these verses, verse number 9 and verse number 10. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse number 9 keeps us in our place, no? It keeps us in our place that we're not able to boast of what we've done. We're not able to stand before God and say, God, I left America. I lived in Ecuador. I reached deaf people for you. I did all these things. Let me into heaven. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That would give me the ability to boast. God, well, I did this. I did this. They didn't do that. I did this. This takes away our ability to work our way to heaven. Verse number 10. Talking to the saved, Paul is encouraging this church. He says in verse number 1-3, remember your life before Jesus Christ. You were all of these things. Verse number 4-8, but remember who God is. Now in verse number 10, we find our purpose. We find who we are in Jesus Christ. For we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are created unto good works. The Bible says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We see the process of the Christian life here. Who we are without Christ, what God does for us, and now who we are in Jesus Christ. And it doesn't only apply to the pastor or the missionary or the staff. You in this church, the members of Central Valley Baptist Church, this is who you are in Christ Jesus. You are a child of God. God wants to give you the victory. God wants to see good works in your life. The Bible says in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Your good works. You know, good works are good. Many times we shy away from talking about good works because we don't want to mix it up with salvation. Well, we're in agreement this evening that we can't work our way to heaven. We can't gain our salvation. We can't earn our salvation. It's by grace. But after we receive that grace and now we're children of God, we do good works. So I haven't been here. I don't know you. I just want to encourage you this evening. Are you doing good works? Are you involved in the good works of this church? Are you doing the good works of this ministry? Did you know that missions is a good work? When you pray for us, it's a good work. When you come and visit us, it's a good work. I encourage you to come visit us. We'll show you all around Ecuador. You'll have a great time. Just ask Rudy and Maria. It's not even hot. It's perfect. Okay, it's hot. I asked them, Rudy, are you coming back soon? It's too hot. When you move somewhere else, we'll come back. But if your children are disobeying and you want to straighten them up, send them to the mission field. We'll put them to work. You know, come visit us. These are good works. Give. You know, I'm not ashamed to talk about money. What we do, we couldn't do without the money that you give us. And we need money all the time for vehicles. Many people there don't have vehicles. They can't walk to church. The deaf even more. Many of them don't know how to take the buses because their parents never let them leave the house. They can't read the buses. So what we do is we need to buy a vehicle to go out and pick these deaf people up and bring them. The goal is that they'll learn to where they can come by themselves. But we have needs. Many people don't understand that Ecuador is a more expensive country than even the United States of America. People think you can go there and live like a king for $500 a month. It's just not true. Almost everything is more expensive than here in the States. And we have needs. When you pray for your missionaries and when you give, it makes a difference. It's a good work. But listen, right here in Manteca, there's good works that need to be done. The Bible says that you were created, you were saved for good works. I want to leave you with this thought this evening to consider. To consider. Consider who you were. Consider who God is. And consider your purpose now. Consider and continue. Consider and continue. You see what David did. He considered, when I see the heavens, when I consider your power. And then in Psalm 144, my God, my fortress, my goodness, my deliverer, he's considering the greatness of God. And it's the same for us. When we stop and we consider the greatness of God, when we consider the power of God, what does it encourage us to do? To continue. To continue. To say, what is man? Without God, I am nothing. And God is with me? Continue. There's hope in Jesus Christ. This evening, continue. Consider and continue. For you that are struggling in your marriage, consider the power of God and continue to fix it. For those of you that have wayward children, consider the greatness of God and the mercy of God and continue. Continue to reach that person. For those of you that are struggling with a sin this evening, consider the victory that God offers us through His Word. Consider the battle that we're facing and continue. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't quit. Consider why? Because of who I am in Christ Jesus. I am victorious. I am a child of God. I just want you to consider this evening. Consider and continue doing good works. Our family, we want to say thank you for the good works that you've done for us, for the people of Ecuador. Everything down from giving us clothes. Many of you don't even know when you give clothes to our children. When our children grow out of those, we give those clothes to needy people in the church in Ecuador. And you don't even know that your first gift to us, the good work train continues to roll all the way through South America. The good works make a difference. There's a reason Christ saved us. It's good works. Christ did not save you to sit on a shelf and collect dust. Christ did not save you to only come Sunday morning, say thank you, and run out. Christ saved you with a purpose. Consider who we were, who God is, and now who you are in Christ Jesus. Let's pray as Pastor comes.